is weird, odd, strange, or just plain bizarre is really your cup of tea, then the Golden State Media Concepts Weird News Podcast will give you that fix. Can't believe it? Well, listen for yourself as we deliver the strangest news you definitely won't find on CNN or Fox. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Weird News Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Weird News Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Heidi, and I am joined today by the fabulous Sarah.
Hello, the also fabulous Heidi.
Oh, thank you. Today we are talking about some fun weird news stories. The first one I would say is interesting and sort of like a cautionary tale.
Oh, dear.
So I guess maybe fun is not the right word, but this is a warning in case you win the lottery. Which okay. I feel like has come up before, especially I've had this conversation where if you win the lottery, don't tell anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I've heard the very same thing. Yeah. In fact, I know people who, I personally don't know anyone who's won large amounts, but my husband knows several people and he tells very disturbing stories that happened to those people.
Yeah, and terrible things could happen. I will say, though, this is not the worst that could happen. So don't worry, this is not a tale of mystery and murder and intrigue
and mayhem.
Not that, and mayhem, yes. But it's still sad. Oh. So just be careful.
Okay.
So this is about a roommate who is accused of stealing a $10 million lottery ticket.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So according to the police, an unidentified man purchased a $30 lotto ticket, hoping to win some extra cash. He hit pay dirt when the ticket won what he thought was $10,000. And he shared the good news with his two roommates. So that was his big mistake. Right. The next day, the man took his ticket to the California State Lotto's District Office, which is in Sacramento. So
hey,
where we are,
close
which is exciting.
To us, yeah.
And he went to get his jackpot, only to be told the ticket wasn't a winner and that it had been altered, which, ugh, that would be awful. The victim immediately suspected that the ticket had been stolen by one of his roommates and then reported the theft to the police department.
Okay, so the ticket had been altered? So, mm-hmm. Like, he just replaced the ticket or he did something to the ticket to invalidate? Well, no, that wouldn't help him. So what does it mean, altered?
I guess they're just saying, like, it's not the ticket you thought it was.
Okay.
So they're like, oh, it'd been altered,
okay.
I guess.
All right.
And he reported to the police. However, the same day, a man, I'm going to attempt this, Adul Sasongyang, who is the now devastated man's roommate, made the same trip to the lottery district office, hoping to collect the $10,000. And that is when officials noticed there were extra zeros on the winning scratch-off ticket, and it was actually worth $10 million.
Wow.
I don't know how they didn't recognize that. I don't know tons of things about lottery tickets.
I don't either. But, and I know they come in different varieties. So what do I know?
I guess they just didn't realize. But the California State Lottery reviews all winnings of more than $600. And after reviewing police and surveillance video at the place where the winning ticket was found, they figured out that this man, Adul, was not the actual winner. In reviewing the grocery store surveillance video, the officials witnessed two significant transactions. First, the alleged victim bought the winning scratcher ticket. Then, hours later, Adul came in and purchased the same type of ticket. And once they saw that, police said it was clear what had happened. And the roommate had tried to swap the winning ticket with the losing one. Apparently that he had altered the losing one to make it look like the winning one.
Okay.
So I guess that's kind of what the lottery office said when it was altered.
Okay.
However, once the police realized this, they didn't tell Adul or the roommate or anything. They didn't tell anyone. But then they invited Adul to the lottery office. Presumably,
like a sting operation.
Yeah, exactly. Presumably he thought he was going to go collect his winnings. But instead he was greeted by the detectives who arrested him on a warrant. And they had been just waiting for him. So yes, it was definitely a sting operation for the lotto.
Huh.
And Abdul was booked into the Sacramento County Jail, and he will be transferred to the Solano County Jail later on. However, Russ Lopez, who is the spokesperson for the California Lotto, said the case of the $10 million scratch-off ticket is not quite over. He said, it's been a very complicated thing. We still have to determine that the first man, Abdul's roommate, is the rightful owner of the ticket, and then we can give him his money. So the tale is not over for the lotto ticket.
Even though they saw him purchase a ticket, they can't necessarily tell what ticket.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess from the camera, they can't see the specific ticket.
Mm-hmm.
But poor guy. Don't tell. Also, we only thought it was 10,000, but it's a million. That's even worse.
Wow. That's,
and I guess the police, because it was like the sting operation, they didn't tell the original man that they had like, we're gonna arrest your roommate. They didn't tell him. Right. But the other man, the roommate who originally got the ticket, he knew that his other roommate stole the ticket. And between the time that the ticket got stolen and the police arrested him was a week. So he said he still had to live in the house with the like thief roommate.
Wow.
And not say anything.
See, and he didn't do anything really crazy like our last episode, when I'm not going to bring up again. Go listen to it if you haven't already.
Live that nightmare again. That's good. He cooperated with the police as they said they were investigating. He didn't ruin it.
Yeah.
By like, I don't know, going after his roommate, which
I don't know if
worse.
I could, just act naturally.
No, I would leave. I would move out or go stay somewhere else.
Something.
Yeah. Especially if I'm like, I'm going to get money from the lotto. I'm just going to go get a hotel room.
Doesn't don't have matter. It yet.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. Hopefully everything works out for him and that he can get his lottery ticket. But also, I mean, hopefully he is the rightful ticket owner. But
right, yeah.
We'll see how that goes. This next story is not necessarily about money. It is actually about the opposite. It is about getting things for free.
I like free things.
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't? And this takes place on the Tokyo Metro. And the Tokyo Metro is betting free soba noodles can help erase the train congestion. So
wait,
we'll
what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Free things. Tokyo's notoriously crowded metro system is trying to ease the morning commute with soba noodles and tempura. The metro system is offering vouchers for the noodles and fried snacks to commuters who get on the train before rush hour.
So far,
more than 8,000 people have signed up to beat the clock.
Doesn't that just then make the early, the pre-commute rush hour, doesn't, now is that rush hour?
I mean, I guess the rush hour, like traditional rush hour, is just so much worse that it doesn't, it's not nearly as close, I guess.
I mean, just think if that, wow, I don't know.
I mean, I guess they wouldn't offer it if they thought that was going to happen. But to participate, passengers have to register their Metro cards online and then use those cards to pass through the station before the morning cutoff time. The Tokyo Metro will email a voucher to passengers who keep up the early travel for 10 consecutive days.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. The Metro said it would hand out the vouchers for tempura if 2,000 people signed up, soba noodles if 2,500 people enrolled, and both the noodles and the tempura if more than 3,000 passengers registered.
And did you say how many registered?
More than
that, right?
Yeah, definitely more than
7,000 or something?
8,000.
8,000.
Yeah, so that's a lot of extra people.
So people are wanting those. They want their soba noodles and their tempura.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's free.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it costs you your sleep, but.
Right.
Also, the metro station, they have named four shops where the customers can go in and redeem their coupons. And the offer stands for passengers on the Tozai line, which is Tokyo's most packed metro route. A fiscal 2017 Japanese government report on train traffic reported that the Tozai line had a 199% congestion rate. And for comparison, a 100% congestion rate means that there are no free seats. And a 200% congestion rate means, in quote, bodies come into contact with each other and one feels considerable pressure.
Yes. So if you get a seat, you're lucky. Otherwise, you are standing with your face in someone's armpit, depending on your height.
Oh, that's my life.
Yeah.
Yes. Every concert, anything. And then on the train, when everyone grabs the bar.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You're just right in there.
Yep.
I would do badly on that. Granted, Tokyo. So maybe people's heights would be better for me there.
Maybe.
It might work out better.
I feel
then
like
my head would just be hitting their heads. But,
I feel like Stacy and I did an episode once that was, they were handing out free deodorant on the subway. I could be making that up, but I feel like we did an episode. I can't remember the circumstances, though, besides, you know, BO.
I would appreciate that.
Oh, it was a heat wave. I think it was a heat wave somewhere, and so they were handing out deodorant.
I would... Oh, man, that is a good idea. Yeah. Because when the AC goes out on those cars, oh, it's a sauna.
Yeah.
It's really gross. Ugh, God. So before we continue on the story about the metro, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back and keep talking about free soba noodles.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Welcome back to the Weird News Podcast. We are continuing to talk about the Tokyo Metro line and the soba noodles and tempura that they are trying to offer in order to reduce some of that congestion that is going on right now.
It's an interesting marketing technique, or, yeah. You know, I mean, I'm just picturing that meeting. What can we offer?
Right.
And what would it be in different cities? You know, if you lived in Paris, what would they offer? If you lived in New York, what would they offer? Hmm. What would get those people to take a different train?
I don't know. I mean, baguettes in France. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. Cheese.
Yeah. Ooh, not on the train, though. Don't take
it. Well, no, don't take it on the train. That might be worse than That'd the BO we were worse. Talking about earlier.
Also, according to different government reports, between 7:50 a.m. and 8:50 a.m., more than 76,000 passengers ride the Tozo line, and they note that the capacity on the train was that's double the capacity that the train was initially designed to serve.
Oh, geez.
So that's the rush hour they're trying to avoid.
Yeah.
And as you were saying, Sarah, when they chose soba noodles, I guess part of the reason they might have chosen it is because soba shops are just everywhere in Japanese metro stations.
Mm-hmm.
And to eat at one, you go in and you stand at a bar or a high top table. And they're really popular when you don't have a lot of time and you just need to like stuff your face with food, because they're often served cold and you can just quickly eat them.
Right.
And they're served cold or hot. I guess the metro is advertising a hot version known as kake soba, along with a tempura fritter, which is made with like onions and carrots. It's estimated that the dish would cost about 400 yen or less than $4. So they're not offering something super expensive, but it's still motivating.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing like the noodle incentive in the U.S. right now. But American cities like Washington, D.C. and Los Angeles, they do charge more for public transportation during their peak hours. So, I mean, it's not nearly as nice as
things. I mean, it's a different kind of incentive.
Yeah.
I like the more positive incentive.
I would like noodles.
Yeah.
I feel like in America, that'd be like, you get French fries or something.
Right. Or Starbucks or...
Yeah. Starbucks might be too expensive, though, if they're doing like less than $4.
Yeah.
I don't know. The situation in Japan, though, for their metro congestion has been worse. In the 1980s, the average congestion on Tokyo trains was above 200%.
Ooh.
So above the bodies coming into contact with each other. Although, I guess, I don't know. That would definitely be worse. I'm not sure what caused it to get better from the 80s.
I don't know. Maybe they added more lines, more cars, more trains. I don't know.
I don't know. People just got sick of it,
mm-hmm.
maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the Tokyo Metro line, they are offering other things besides just soba noodles for incentives. They are encouraging other enticements like bottles of Coca-Cola, cups of coffee, and other bowls of soup. And all of this is to encourage passengers to travel off-peak travel times.
So they offer it for the morning commute. Is it as bad as in the evening commute?
Oh, I wonder. I feel like it has to be.
Because I feel like the evening commute would be the soba noodles and the morning commute would be the coffee.
Yeah.
But no, that what makes do I know? Sense.
I don't know. But yeah, I wonder. They didn't mention it, but I could see that being something they'd go for. Maybe you get other things like Coca-Cola or something, or other bowls of soup. I'm not sure. So good for Tokyo. Way to try and decrease that. But also the fact that they have really good public transport.
I was just thinking that. They clearly have very good mass transit.
It's very popular. So good for them. Another story that we have about, I guess, the public being incentivized by other government institutions. This one is not about trains, though. This is about the police. But it is about the police who are seeking volunteers to come and drink to excess. Very different from soba.
Is it like for testing breathalyzers or testing those things that they make you do on the side of the road?
I've never had to do it. Exactly. That's good for you, Sarah. I mean, I feel like I would fail anyway, just being sober.
I can't walk in a straight line.
I know. Yeah. It'd be bad. But, I mean, thankfully, I haven't had to do that.
Right. And I don't drink and drive, so it's not an issue.
Generally, other PSA, please.
Please
don't drink and drive.
There are Ubers everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. You're probably in a town that can have an Uber or a taxi. I don't know. This particular story takes place in Pennsylvania. So it is the Pennsylvania Police Department is giving three lucky volunteers the chance to help them train the officers in field sobriety tests.
Hmm.
Of course, to do this, the volunteers have to drink a lot.
Yeah, right.
However, when I read this story, they said don't bother applying because the police department posted the Facebook request and they posted it on a Wednesday and then were flooded with volunteers.
Of course.
And on Thursday, they made it clear that it was a limited time offer because so many people had come in.
Right.
Also, this was
requesting it. We've already got our volunteers.
Stop wanting to come drink with us.
Yes.
This was in Kutztown Borough.
How's it spelled? I'm not looking at
it. K-U-T-Z Town.
Oh. Yeah, Kutztown, not sure.
Yeah.
Let's go with Kutztown. Sounds sure.
Not as violent as Kutztown.
Yeah, and I don't know.
It's fun. They had an overwhelming response, and the police said that at this point, which would be the Thursday, the day after they posted, they have enough volunteers. They only needed three, so.
Right. Yeah, yeah. When you said three, I was like, but I feel like they're going to get influx.
They were flooded. The department had a few stipulations when it made the request. Participants for the training exercise, they had to be in good health, clean criminal record, and no history of drug or alcohol abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also had to sign a waiver, and they need a sober companion who is prepared to take them home afterwards.
I was wondering if they were going to make them sleep in the drunk tank or drive them home themselves.
I mean, it makes sense. They need someone to take them home. They can't just leave them out in the street.
No. Thank you for your help. Please sleep on the lawn.
Oh gosh, yeah, you can sleep in the jail.
Yeah.
Also, of course, the other stipulation is the volunteers had to be willing to drink. They also had to be willing to drink hard liquor to the point of inebriation. That is a quote by the police about this.
They should have asked me because, like, it would have been a really cheap date. They would not have had to buy that much alcohol to get me to the point of inebriation because I don't drink very often. So hard liquor, give me a shot, I'm good to go.
It would put you out. They'd be able to get their sobriety tests.
Just pass out and I wouldn't be helpful at all.
Maybe they were avoiding that. Also, it seemed like everyone who wanted to volunteer were, you know, they were some seasoned drinkers, mm-hmm. ready to take it on, especially... I feel like you want to get your bang for your buck. So if it's going to be on the police's dime, someone who could get multiple drinks, you know.
But that's why they should have me, because it wouldn't cost them as much.
That's true. You're thinking of the police in this situation. Yeah, I am. That's very kind of you.
And the budget.
the town budget. The town responded enthusiastically to the requirement. Obviously, that is really an understatement. The post that the police put out asking for volunteers, it was shared more than 1,400 times.
Wow.
That was by the Thursday night, so the day after they had posted. And hundreds of people left comments. Also, this town has a population of just over 5,000. So it's a bunch of sharing.
A fifth of the population, or maybe not even residents shared it. But
yeah, yeah. One of them wrote, "Is there a spectator area?" Which is a great comment.
Yes.
Another one said, "Will this count as credit for our community service?"
See, you're not supposed to have a record or something, wasn't it?
I'm sure that person was just hopeful. Also, people who were both young and old wanted to get in on the action, but there was an age requirement. People had to be between the ages of 25 and 40.
Oh.
So, I mean, I guess they wanted to make sure you were in very healthy condition and not completely irresponsible, like 21-year-old.
Right, or...
just on your birthday.
16. Right. I want to be... But I'm picturing the other extreme, too. You know, your 80-year-old grandmother.
Oh.
I'll do it.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Also, this town is located near Berks County, and it sits on the intersection of the Pennsylvania Dutch County, which has lots of horse and buggy attractions and whatnot, and also the state-owned Kutztown University, which is just outside the borough's boundaries. So apparently, Kutztown is kind of like a college town, and according to one comment, everyone is just drunk there.
Nice.
So I guess that makes sense why they wanted to test their, you know, get their officers ready for all the sobriety tests. Yeah. Sounds like they're all going to be pretty busy with that. Also, does that mean they just didn't have a normalized procedure for sobriety tests before?
Right.
This?
How do other police departments do these field tests or training?
I don't know. I mean, I guess they would have to do the same thing, right? Maybe they just have someone fake drunk.
But I was thinking that, but then that's, I don't know, that doesn't seem quite...
Right. I mean, how do they test that their instruments work?
True.
I'm not sure.
True.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's just out among friends. Right. Off hours.
Maybe. Yeah, there you go. Okay, whose turn is it to get drunk tonight? Who's training and who's getting drunk?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Good for them to put it out to the people. But also, the sobriety test training, it won't take place until April. And it's unclear what the test will employ and like how they're going to choose their volunteers, really.
Yeah.
Because there's so many people who volunteer.
I mean, just randomly choose them out of a hat or...
I don't know. It's unclear now how they're going to figure that out. And also, as far as other sobriety tests, marijuana use is illegal in Pennsylvania. So the police will not be looking for stoned volunteers anytime soon. Just the alcohol.
Just put that out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Just so you don't go running over there to get your other community service on. good luck to the town. I hope that that works out for you all and that your sobriety tests go well and that you find volunteers. I hope it's not a riot if people don't get chosen.
But definitely set up the observation area. You could sell tickets. I think could be a fundraiser to pay for the liquor that you're serving.
Yeah, just bring your families. You have to have someone anyway to drive you.
Exactly.
So that could be a carload of people. Who knows? That'd be fun to watch.
I think they've got something going there.
I agree. They should do this. I don't know. I should do this where we live.
It should be an annual festival.
Oh, yeah. A different type of Oktoberfest. we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back and keep talking about some more weird news stories.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA, it's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Welcome back to the Weird News Podcast. We are continuing with our weird news stories. This one is about the Washington Post, but a counterfeit edition of the Washington Post.
Oh.
So the headline of this paper read, "Unprecedented: Trump hastily departs White House, ending crisis." And this story, which obviously sounds very shocking, was delivered on newsprint to commuters around Washington, D.C., in what appeared to be the signature banner of the Washington Post.
They even printed it?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was in print.
Wow.
Online.
That should have been your first clue.
Yeah. Who does
newspapers
that?
Newspapers are dying.
And the Washington Post is passing it out for free?
Yeah.
Online, a website which was bearing an eerily similar similar to the Washington Post. The website looked almost exactly the same. And it described a secretive resignation, global celebrations, and the swearing in of Mike Pence as president. So they had both the print and the website covered.
Why?
I mean, it was an activist movement.
Interesting.
And copies of the counterfeit paper were distributed outside the White House and, I guess, the city's train station. The Washington Post's PR team rushed in to clarify that the news is fake, obviously, and that it is not part of the Washington Post's products. The Bonafide Post also published a story, apparently, about fake news stories. Also, and to clarify, this, you know, well, right, this is not real. Yeah. And inside the satirical version of the paper, there was a special pullout section titled Bye Bye, A Guide to Bringing Him Down, that pointed to the source of the publication. The paper is apparently more of a dream than a deception, according to anti-Trump organizer L.A. Kaufman, who in an interview to the news sources said that she created this fake paper in collaboration with author Onesha Roychuduri. Oh, I'm so sorry. Roychuduri. Okay. And the activist pranksters known as the Yes Men. So this was a fake paper. It was an act by activists. And also, if you haven't heard of the Yes Men, they have made multiple films, and you should really go see them. Like, they made one in 2003 just called The Yes Men. They made another one called The Yes Men Fix the World. The Yes Men Are Revolting. They're a really humorous group of activists that, I guess, what's the word? They, like, fake a lot of news. Or, like, there was one where they appeared on live television, like, claiming to be someone else. And made kind of like similar to this, like a very outlandish statement. They claimed to be part of a corporation and said, oh, yes, this terrible accident that happened at our factory, we completely apologize. It was completely our fault. And of course, the real company was not claiming responsibility and not apologizing, but everyone kind of knew that it was the company's fault.
Right.
So they have done a lot of acts of protest in this way. I would really suggest looking into them.
Interesting.
But to move on, this paper. According to Kaufman, she said that it is a vision of a woman-led popular uprising that drives Trump from office. And this was all, according to this fake paper, to happen by May 1st. Also, you can note all of the online stories bear the same date of May 1st, which is a big tip-off that it's not the real paper.
So this is a woman-led uprising, and they call themselves the Yes Men?
The Yes Men is a different group.
Oh, okay.
It is actually men.
Okay.
But the Yes Men contributed to this particular paper with Kaufman. And she said, I guess in the newspaper, the dream of what this newspaper story was talking about was a woman-led movement that ousted Trump.
Okay.
That was like the paper's dream.
Okay.
Right. Kaufman admitted that the paper and the project was completely unauthorized. And the edition of the renowned paper, I guess it had just been like in, they had been planning the distribution for like 9 months and they wanted to tie its release to the upcoming Women's March, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Are there any consequences for doing something like this? Like, I mean, I don't know. They obviously didn't really plagiarize or anything, but they took, and I'm sure they did just enough to make it so it wasn't really the Washington Post things, but are there consequences? I don't know about these things.
Apparently, they haven't heard yet from the actual Washington Post legal team. I kind of imagine the Washington Post wouldn't go after them, though.
But yeah, I don't know how that works.
I'm not sure. I mean, it's kind of like, I guess it's like a one-time thing, and everyone knows it's fake, because obviously Trump is still in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure. I don't know what other legal consequences they are. Also, Kaufman said that they were very careful to date this particular paper in the future and to really frame it, she says, as speculative fiction. She admitted that people might be confused by how closely it imitates the real thing. She hopes that it can be a moment of joy for people in the period before they realize that it's fake.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She also added that this project is part of a long-standing tradition of political satire.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it definitely is. And as I said before, she hasn't heard from the Washington Post legal team. She also hasn't been asked to take down this fake website that she made.
Oh.
Which is surprising. I feel like they would at least ask her to do that. But I'm not sure. She also said they don't have plans to distribute the paper elsewhere in the country. It was just kind of like, I guess, a pop-up shop, one deal thing.
Mm-hmm.
And amid the made-up stories that this fake Washington Post falsified, readers noticed a self-referential piece whose headline hinted at the organizer's hope for the project. It said, fictional Washington Post eerily predicted real events.
No. Okay.
Which is pretty funny. Yeah. So I guess They wanted, I feel like if you do that, you want people to know that it's fake, like to figure out that it's fake to not cause like giant pandemonium.
Right.
But also real enough that it takes like maybe a second glance or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I guess the fact that people were handing out free Washington Posts might tip you off.
Right.
People
believe a lot of what they want to believe. So, you know,
that's true.
I don't know.
Yeah. It was also printed on real like newspaper print. I read a couple people on social media who commented on this and they said, wow, like someone really put money into this.
Yeah.
This is on like real newsprint and they had to like print it as all newspapers are.
Yeah.
But a lot of work, obviously. This is like 9 months. So I'm impressed.
That is commitment.
Yeah, I will say. And that brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you all so much for listening, and I hope you can tune in to the next Weird News podcast.